So what we'll do is we will go around the room and introduce ourselves for the record, and then you'll have 15 minutes to let us know what you think the value is and why. The board may have some questions for you about your property towards the end, and then the board will recess this session, and then they'll go into deliberative session and come up with a decision on the property value, whether it goes up, stays the same, or goes down. Okay, the
Hope it
town.
doesn't go up.
The town will send out a results of grievance notice by certified mail. By statute, it's 14 days at the end or the close of the hearings. So, if we're looking to close the hearings on the 13th, it's 14 days after that. We're hoping to turn these around quicker. It's taking about a week to get those letters out so far. So, we're hoping to stay on that schedule. So, you should get something from us in 2 weeks. Other than that, we can start. So let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
I'm Charlotte Gardner.
Robert Vickery.
Jerry Barrows.
And you're.
Ed and Judy Miller. Sorry
Okay.
about that. I thought you knew.
All right,
For
so,
the record.
yeah. All right, so you have time to let us
Okay.
know.
We'll start with it because we're new at this. So please, we've never done this before, so we're a little nervous. So
Oh,
please
don't
bear with
worry.
us.
It's not adversarial.
Okay.
It's your fact
Okay.
finding.
Well, that's
Education.
a. We thought our taxes have been high since we moved in over at Lomatier Farms. We've come to that conclusion by having talks at barbecues and finding other people that have full-size houses with 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, pools, 3-car garage. They pay less tax than we do in our condo, which I thought was kind of weird. And I came over here and talked to the town clerk's office, and they said, "Well, this is going to be a reappraisal. Everything will be taken care of then." I said, "Okay, that's fine." So we waited, and when the reappraisal letter came out, or the newsletter came out, says make an appointment for the appraiser to come to your house, we signed up. We made an appointment. They came to the house, looked at it. He had a couple errors on his thing. He said we had 2.5 baths, and we only had 2. And so he said it would be, probably fixed by that situation. We explained the same thing about the neighbors paying less taxes for a bigger house than we got, and theirs is a house and not a condo, so we were fine with that. And when they came and notified us that the new assessment would be $623,200, that was the first letter we got from the town office, which was right here, $623,200. I said that seemed fair because I knew one of the houses that was similar to ours in an adjacent development. I mean, they were connected, Briganti Woods and Lomatier Farms, they're connected, and we're friends with people on both sides. And one condo, same style as 1-story, 2-bedroom, sold for 649. And I said, "Well, that makes sense that 649 and 623, because they're a more development. They've got an irrigation system. I know he's got the epoxy garage floor and custom backsplash and everything. So I knew that house would be valued more than ours." So 623 seemed fine. Then our neighbor, Karen Richards, who lives in the next development, was telling us there was a mistake made in how they valued the houses and they were going to come back. And sure enough, that same day, there was an assessor vehicle driving around our neighborhood. So I said, "Oh, that's fine." And then we get the next letter. Well, no, I went online and it said it went up to 712,000. And I'm like, "How'd that happen?" And then I get a letter saying it was 719,500. So it kept going up and up and up. And I'm like, "That's not helping us." So I did some more research, and Karen actually gave me a tutorial on the vision system. So I went in and looked at that. I wrote notes so I wouldn't lose track. I kept checking the vision database because I thought our value was too high and the change. I found the data to be consistently changing. Even after the letters came out, square footage would change, the values would change. Every time I went into the computer, the values were changing. I would have thought everything would have locked down at that point once you make the decision. But it didn't for some reason. And I just kept finding different values. And even our square footage and the map changed from when I printed it out to the time that this is here. So that was a little frustrating to keep finding changes. And I don't profess to be a realtor. I don't profess to be an expert in appraisals. I don't know how you go about doing it, what square footage you look at, but it makes sense to me that square footage is going to be the biggest area of what your value of your house is going to be. So I looked at the square footage, and none of the houses, there are eight houses in our development that are exactly the same. There are four buildings with two houses adjoined, as you can see. And I would think all the houses would be the same, because I called the builder and I said, why is there such a difference in square footage and values of houses that are all the same in our development? And he said, well, they're all the same footprint. The only changes are like how people put upgrades in or change walls in order to think. But the footprint itself and the actual square footage is the same. But if you look at all eight houses in our development, they all have different square footage. They all have different values. I can go down the list if you want.
What square footage do you all have?
Well, according to paperwork that we got from our builder, that's the only thing I could find that had square footage, was 2129.
Okay. We have 2144.
Mm-hmm. So that, I'm not going to argue over a couple of feet. I wouldn't think that's a big difference. My concern is that all these houses are different square footage. If you look at 60 Lomatier, their square footage is 1940, and they have a finished basement. Ours doesn't have a finished basement, and it has more. I don't know how they figured that one out, but...
mistakes have been made.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, that this gets rectified, because I do think we're paying higher than we should, or will be paying higher than we should, and that's why we're here. So let's see. The house for $649.5, I told you they had some extras, and they're in a more developed neighborhood than ours is, because ours is newer.
What address was that?
60. Lomatier.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the Reagan's. And I checked the development next to us, which is the Briganti Woods, and they have four houses that are the exact same model, built by the same builder as ours. Their values go from 676 to 680.
Just 16 limits here, this bump out here, this section here of your house, they have it as an enclosed porch. It's not a finished part of that.
They're all building. Finished. They're all the same.
We have it that they have... that this section here is the porch area.
Then I should be a porch area too, because they're all the same.
They're exactly the same?
Yeah. Okay.
The sunroom?
Yeah, because some of them, they do have changes. We can look at it.
I don't want to throw somebody else under the bus.
No.
I'm just saying that we can look at it, but I'm just telling you that's where the difference is in the square footages.
But according to our builder, they're all the same.
Yeah. It has a foundation under it. It's just not upstairs.
If you look at the house, look at the pictures, it's the exact same picture as ours. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so I went back to the Anna's Court, which is the next development, and there's 676, 680, 680, 680 for the exact same house. So why are we $40,000 more? And again, I contacted the developer, and he told me all the one-story, two-bedroom homes had the same square footage, built on the same foundation. The only differences would be upgrades to walls or change to accommodate individual purchasers, but that would not change the square footage or footprint. He even said they're not that sophisticated to change foundations for these models. And I think it's called the Garden Villa, is the one-story. let's see. So I told you the 2129 is what they told us our square footage was. Most recent sales in Briganti and Lomatier show 73 Wildlife Loop sold for 525. So that was a 2164 square foot, three bedroom upstairs house. I know a different model, but these are just prices that are in our development.
Again, how much for 73?
525.
525.
193 Wildlife Loop, first floor master, two bedrooms upstairs, 2232 square feet, sold for 560,000. 187 Anna's Court, 2156, three bedrooms upstairs, 575. 496 Anna's Court, 2212 square feet, first floor master, two bedrooms upstairs, 649.9. So then I went and used the Vision system to do comparable properties sold over the last 2 years, and it was kind of interesting because I checked the developments that I knew Shepherd built, which was Hannah's Way and Haley's Way, that Mill Pond area.
Years and years ago.
Yeah, but they're the same house. They were valued at, well, do you want me to go through each one?
No, that's all right. That's okay. All right. I think, I don't know whether you want to leave some of that documentation.
Sure, I can give you a copy of that.
Yeah.
That would be better.
But as, just to go over everything, I went through all the ones, Hannah's Place, Haley's Way, Anna's Court. Mm-hmm. Most of them were out of our development because that was such a new development, very small turnover. I will tell you that the neighborhood talks, and there was one house that sold for $750,000, which was the same model as ours, and I think that was... $134 Lomatier. And the reason I went to the owner of that house, I said, why did your house, the former owner, I said, why did your house sell for that much more than what ours would sell for? And he said, well, I got a whole list of stuff that he put in it. Okay, his upgrades included an irrigation system, heat and AC in the garage, patio, privacy fence, upgraded wiring and sound system, water recirculatory system, on-demand hot water system, finished basement, whole house air filtration system. So it's comparing apples to oranges when you consider what our house has.
Sure.
I mean, our house was at the top of our price range at the basic level when we bought it in 2020. We didn't have a lot of extras. I don't think we put any. We may have changed a faucet or a shower head, but nothing compared to what he did. So, you know, for that to be in, it kind of hurts us because that one skews the differences. But if you go through and add up all the ones that have sold over the last 2 years, there was 11 sales of this style house. The average, if you add it up, was $638,739. And if you go through the five without finished basements, the average is $587,825. So again, it brings it back down towards the $623,000, which was originally assessed at the beginning. That's why we felt that. So I went through, and I hope I'm not running out of time. So why is our house not worth the $720,000? $500 assessment. Our house was the least expensive home built in our development. You can go through Vision and see what the purchase prices were for each of the same houses, and we paid the least amount. We don't have, our neighbor has a jetted tub. We didn't have that. We had no finished basement, no cement patios, no privacy fences. We bought our house because it was one story for accessibility reasons, and it was at the top of our price range at the entry level price that we paid. Our home shares the location, unfortunately. If you see, this is our map of our development. Mm-hmm. This is our house is here, our neighbor's Jodwin's. Mm-hmm. And she's upset over her evaluation too, and I think she's already been in. But we share the septic tank here. Ours is, and you guys, I assume you're realtors. The names sound like that.
Yes, we are.
If you have a 6,500-gallon septic system tank that is gravity-fed that lands in your backyard, is that going to depreciate the value of your house, especially when it stinks when they pump it out?
No.
I mean, that to me is, I wish I'd known that before, because we were the first ones built, we could have built anywhere, and I didn't know that, that all 26 houses diverge into there, and the fear that if that backs up, guess whose house gets it? The one right here.
Closest.
So that I feel as an impact. Our house is also, if you look at it, the smallest distance between houses. We didn't know that again because the houses weren't built there. So we're right in next to it in the smallest amount of space between houses. So that's another reason. And when you compare the values of the same model home built by the same builder, the current assessment is way too high compared to the others. And I just feel that it's much closer. And I don't have an exact figure because I don't know how you come to these conclusions based on the whatever information you use, but I feel it's much closer to the 632 than it would be to the 719 based on comparable sales and all the information that I have received from other neighbors.
So you estimate you could sell yours for 632 today?
I really don't know. I mean, if somebody wanted to give me 719.5, I'd be very happy. But I would think, you know, like I said, it could be 623, it could be 633. I don't know what goes into that factoring. That's, I guess, what your job is. But my concern is that 719.5 is way too high for this property.
Good data. Thank you.
And I did have one question when I was looking through. That person that sold the house for 750 bought another house in our development. And his house is, let's see, what did he sell it for? He sold it for, or bought it for $1,162,000. His is appraised at $790,000. How can that be if ours is 720?
Because we don't value properties directly on the sale price. So,
but it's that much of a difference?
Yeah, that's possible, yeah. So okay. We have sale prices for the single family homes. And some of our, you know, 700,000, some are 800,000. That one's a million, right? So, but they're all the same footprint and they're all the same design, just that one has the bells and whistles. So what we try to do is go in the middle and then adjust for quality or condition in between there. But that particular one, no matter how much adjustment we make, we can't hit that sale price.
Huh. Yeah, I was just very surprised. I was like,
so it's just the model we were using, and we're trying to get to the middle of those sale prices, right? So the model gives us the middle, and then we can adjust up and down for quality condition. But there's no adjustment up to where he paid for it.
Yeah. Like, well, that's the same guy that put all the extras into the one that's over
750.
Right.
Right.
You know,
and
you get a lot of money.
So. Apparently, so that's the thing, like when with these developments, and it's proven out over years, is the person who puts all that extra in, that resale ends up coming down. So what they're putting into it, and the developer's charging them to put all these things in, they never get that back in the market.
Well, he did on the condo because,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about that particular sale, was because it was a resale. The resales are much better reflections of market value than when the developer sells it.
But so, one outlier as opposed to like the other house?
Well, when we look at a lot of the sales, say for instance, Hannah's Way, those are ranging from 650 to 7 something. And those are older, same design, yeah. Older buildings. So, you know, we're looking at all the designs, Nottingham Court's another one that has the same design of your buildings, slightly different square footages, but they're older. And so when we look at those sales are in the 650 to 700 range as well, and they're older. So that actual 750 sale is pretty in line when you actually draw it out and load them up. The ones that are selling for 500 are not in line in this particular style.
But that's what I'm saying is when you average that out, though, shouldn't that be your middle like you said with the other one?
You can come in later and I'll show you a spreadsheet of your particular design of your unit and the sale prices and the assessed values. You'll see where those come in.
Okay.
Okay. Because we have it for each individual different style unit in that development. So the duplex, the two-story ones with the second floor over the garage is a one unit style. Then the ones that don't have the second floor over the garage, but do have a second floor, is another style. And so we have those all listed out, and you know what those sale prices are for each of those units and what those assessments are and what the average sale price is, what the average unit price is on the assessment. So I have that available for you.
So how did they come up with 623 the first time and then it went up 100 or 90?
Well, okay, so there was some issues with the way they graded. So each style, we have a grading system for each style, right? Because the price per square foot is not quite the same when you look at the sale prices for each of those different styles. So they had made an error and they were grading them on the wrong different grading styles. So like for yours, they were grading as if it was a two-story. That's why it was 612. So that, because that price per square foot's different.
But the other two-story houses are 500 in that.
I understand.
Yeah.
The 500 ones are the ones with the second floors above the garages. Those are selling for the least amount.
Okay. Oh, that's the three-bedroom upstairs.
Yep.
Because one master bedroom downstairs and the two. Yeah. Yep. There's three different styles.
Yeah. Right. So we're assessing each style with a different price per square foot based on those, and so there was some errors in the way they were coding them by the style coding, and then there was some errors in their measurements as well.
Yeah,
so our measurements came from the plans originally, and then they went out and remeasured, and they,
because a lot of these they didn't even go into the houses.
That's
yeah,
right.
Surprising.
Only one that they went in.
Yeah, everyone
the basement.
They didn't make an appointment.
Open closets to make sure, or in a bathroom.
They went out and remeasured all the properties, whether they got in or not. They're supposed to measure all of them.
Why was that?
And then some of those measurements were incorrect because we were actually using the measurements from the plans originally. Those got changed. We changed them back to the plans. So there was several changes from those initial notices, but those initial notices were not official change of assessment notices. They were to say, look it over. If there's an error, let us know. We'll correct it. So when people looked it over and they found errors, Karen was one of them, said, wait a minute, this is not right. Then we went back and we redid all that whole neighborhood. So that's why there was a change. And that's why when you kept going back to the website, you kept seeing changes in those assessments. But we have to deliberate because we're now 10 minutes late for the next one.
Yeah. So may we keep your data?
Yeah, you want it all?
Sure.
Yes.
Do you want it all?
Yes, please.
And
so is this the actual measurements that you took?
No, I have those. And I just want to say, each one of these houses is different. I don't understand how they could all be different if they're all the same model, like you said.
Like I said, it looks like one of them.
The final.
Well, that's because I keep changing the numbers, because every time I go in, it's a different
The numbers number. Won't change now. Now that we send out the official change of assessment notice, the only way we can change them is through an appeal process.
Okay. So our neighbor...